This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
NFL fans, are you hungry for a big win this weekend? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game, and if they do, you can win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
I improved a couple weeks ago.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
I heard the way you guys were all acting. Talking about my coach.
He lost to Georgia State. What do you expect?
Chance for improvement. Let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. In this situation, Jeremy Pruitt is just a 40-something-year-old bald baby, and the bathwater would be the Georgia State game.
Airing every day from
noon to 3.
Do babies even need baths? They don't work. They won't get jobs. Really, when you think about it, babies are a lot like the homeless, just drinking milk and not getting jobs.
On 1340 WKGN.
We have grown here today on Talk Sports. Only 45 minutes in, just because I said Pruitt's a big baby, a big bald baby, that you guys wanted to throw out with the bathwater and fire him and said he was a moron that couldn't coach.
I wanted to put him in the microwave after Georgia State.
Hour 3 kicking off in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Hit us with some Hour 3 headlines. Draven, what do you got for us?
I'm sure you watched it yesterday. Big moment on ESPN during all this NFL action. We had the WNBA Finals coming to an end. And what a moment it was for Candace Parker.
Queen Candace.
How about it? What a great game. Great finish, kind of a comeback towards the end. I saw it was the largest comeback in WNBA Finals history.
Got chills just thinking about it.
That's cool, wasn't it?
Seeing her out there crying.
Man, Taurasi, what a choke job, too. Taurasi, no!
Shout out
wide open layup, she choked, and they went on a run right after. That was the downfall of the Phoenix there.
She apparently was throwing stuff after the game, punching stuff.
Really? Man, that team is loaded, too.
They're loaded with, like, names, you know.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I mean, Skylar Diggins isn't very good.
Nah, she wasn't. She looks so small out there.
Skylar Diggins is just like a hustle, days. Like scrappy girl. Like she was like a baller in college, but like I was thinking that too when I first saw. I was like, wow, they're so limited. I was like, well, actually, she's not that good. Like she's just like the gritty. Like I'll score 6 points and play some defense. Like,
Yeah, she used to be better.
This girl is like on Chicago that like I've never heard of or like way better than her. Like that Vandersloot girl. I don't know where the hell she came from.
Gonzaga, right? Is she a Gonzaga girl, right?
I don't know.
I think so.
I just said I didn't know.
She was cold in college.
But Gonzaga wasn't very good, were they?
I think they were like ranked.
Yeah, they're always ranked and
but they're never like top level.
No, man,
like
they're never
Notre Dame, like Skylar Diggins, like on TV all the time.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. What about the other girl? Yeah. Like, was it Quigley? Her wife, yeah. Quigley? Like, where the hell is she from?
Quigley is
because she was out there stroking threes too, and I'm like, I've never heard of this girl. But whenever you hear Skylar Diggins, like, oh yeah, of course she's better.
I want to say South Carolina, but I don't think that's right.
Vandersloot did go to the Gonzaga. You're right.
I don't remember any white girls in South Carolina, but I don't.
That's why I was like, I don't know.
I don't know about that one.
I used to know.
Goosebumps, though. Candace
in tears.
Thanking her high school coach for being there at first, and then says, I know Pat's here looking down. She always gives shout-outs to Pat.
I know.
Was it
awesome,
Allie Quigley? Was
that I think so, yeah.
Oh, she went to DePaul.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay.
Yeah, I never heard of that one. So what is this?
Candace holds it down for Tennessee.
Was this three?
No.
This is her second title.
Second? Okay, yeah.
Third finals, though, right? Didn't she lose the first one?
I believe
in
so.
In what, 2013 or something?
I don't
2014?
Know. Yeah. This is our second title. And okay.
I knew she went to another.
Of course, from Chicago, asked to get traded back home, goes there and gets him a title. And I will say, like, Chicago seemed to, like, really embrace it. And it was a pretty good crowd.
She hit a clutch three, too. How big was that three? I think that was, what, to tie the game?
Yeah.
I want to say they were down three and she hit a three to tie it up. And then
Chance the Rapper in the front row. He loves his wife and he loves women's basketball.
He kind of gets on my nerves.
Yeah.
Not to be a downer on him, you know, being at the game, supporting him or whatever, but I don't know. Kind of feels like he's making it about him.
Oh, wow. It's funny. Either way. Whenever I said that about Dak, you thought that was such a terrible take when Dak was at the women's Final Four making it about him when Mississippi State was there. But interesting.
More of a
interesting. Huh.
Wow.
Wow. He's an alumni at Mississippi State. He supported,
Chicago is,
he was also supporting
Chance
the baseball
Rapper is
team.
From Chicago, and
he was also supporting the baseball team.
Interesting. Make it all
Rapper,
about him, you said.
You
okay.
see Chance the Rapper at all the Chicago games? Is he at Bears and Bulls games? No.
He might just like the sky.
Maybe. Just saying, Dak was also.
I didn't see Dak.
He went to a baseball game. He was supporting the baseball team.
When they were in the World Series? I didn't see him at Hoover for the SEC tournament. I saw him maybe at the World Series when he had a chance to make that about himself, too. Interesting. Funny how that happens. Huh. Okay. Huh. Chalk one up for me there. Huh.
Alumni is a little different.
Oh,
it
yeah.
It is. It's
yeah.
a little different. Yeah. I haven't seen Chance the Rapper at other Sky games.
He was at game. I know he was at game three.
Has he been at regular season games?
You think I'm watching the sky in the regular season?
I don't know. You act like you're the biggest fan in the world.
Candace isn't playing all the regular season games, bro. They had to pace themselves. They were a team that came together
at the
right
themselves.
Time.
They play 30 regular season games.
It was about
games.
The championship game. She's bouncing things around. She's at TNT.
Load management.
Yeah, she's doing things. I mean, who cares?
She's a champion.
She knew just get me in the tournament.
Say anything bad.
And we're going to win.
I can't believe Draven hates Candace Parker.
What? Yeah, yeah, I
pretty
totally just said
like.
That.
That's pretty crazy.
I didn't even say that.
I do love me some Candace, man.
Everybody loves Candace.
She's
great.
I don't want to like overstate it, but like I do feel like she is going to be the bridge for women's athletic here after Pat. Like I think Candace will be the face of that. Like I don't think any of
head coaching future.
I don't know about
mark?
That. She's too talented to do that.
What, just like broadcasting and stuff?
She's so good as an analyst for TNT.
She is good.
I don't think she'll ever like come and coach. Maybe she will. Maybe she'll like need that competitive desire or whatever, but I just don't see that from her.
I think she'd be a good coach, at the end of the day.
She analyst stuff, though, for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
But she does she's on there every week.
Every
she's
week,
on Tuesdays
yeah,
on the Tuesday
true.
When, like, she's good,
WNBA
too.
WNBA
like.
Season, such a weird time.
Yeah, well, and plus, I mean, like, well, most of them go and play, like, overseas.
Yeah.
They make way more money overseas, but she doesn't have to do that because she makes money here, like, through endorsements and other jobs. So she doesn't have to go overseas anymore, but might be one of her last years. I mean, she's 35, won a championship. It might be the right time to retire. I don't know.
Shout out to the Sky, though. The fans were going wild. That was the most amped up WNBA game I've seen. Like, really, the fans were.
I don't know how many WNBA games you watched, but the crowd was good.
One of the three he's watched.
The crowd was good. You don't have to go
through it.
You just don't have to act like, oh, that's the different level crowd we've ever seen in the WNBA.
Anytime you flip through a game, it's usually pretty empty.
I will say.
Just saying. I'm not saying I'm watching the game, Hayden. You can laugh all you want, but, you know, sometimes you'd be flipping through the channels.
No. Queen Candace just won a championship. Shut up. I will say, like,
that's
when Seattle's good, their crowd shows up too.
What's her team name?
The Storm.
Oh, yeah.
Like, with Sue Bird and them. Like,
wow, how about that?
Like, that crowd's usually
been
good.
They've a staple in WNBA forever.
Speaking of women's basketball,
get out of here, Hayden.
At the game, I was, like, on the third row again, right there behind, like, the. They had, like, some recruits or at least, like, some former basketball players and stuff. And I say, Kelly Jolly? Pretty pretty in person. It might have been the white claws I had before, but pretty pretty in person.
She was, love to see it.
I was like fourth on the end of the row, and she was up there like right next to me at times. I was like, huh?
How about it?
All right, just the right
her
level
kids
too.
With her?
Seemed approachable. No.
It wasn't a game for kids.
Mama's night out.
She seemed so cool.
Oh, she
too.
By herself.
I know.
She seemed so
well, no, she was, no, she was with like. Oh. Well, I don't know. I don't know if her man was there or not. I don't know that. Oh. But like, she was there. I mean, she was working. They had like. I don't know if they're hosting basketball recruits or what. I mean, some of those kids seem young. Like, I think both the men's and women's had some guys there. Like, Fulkerson was there, but I think there was some younger, like, prospects there.
Yeah, there was some basketball prospects there.
It seemed like a recruiting trip for both. So she was working, but, you know, just since we're talking about women's basketball, she can be the face of the women's basketball program, too, as far as I'm concerned, if you're listening, Kelly. What's up? But I do love Candace. Can't imagine being close to Kansas.
Man.
She might be one of the people I'd ask for a picture. I don't ask
many
people for pictures. I might ask Candace for one. Actually, no. She'd make me look so short.
She would.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
Yeah,
you would.
She'd make anybody look short. In this room.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Very true. Speaking of just kind of other sports, non-football related, after another crazy football weekend, the Braves. Hayden, you're Braves. Braves boys.
Let's
how about it?
Braves.
2-0 lead, man.
Let them go.
Look at them.
Two walk-offs. How's that make you feel, Hutton?
Come on.
How's that make you feel,
Are they
Hutton?
Finally getting that monkey off their back, Hayden. Are they finally doing it?
The Dodgers. Dodgers got hearts of a champion. Braves are up 3-1. I'm not speaking anything bad into existence. I'm just saying I think the Braves know they have to. They can't celebrate until they finish.
Stomp on the throat.
Now, I will
say,
if I'm the Braves, I'm like, you know what? They got to beat us in Atlanta. And they ain't done it yet. Now, if the Dodgers go there and win three in a row in L.A. and come back up 3-2, you're going to have some nervous people in Atlanta because they do 2-3-2 still. But that would be a little problematic. I do think the Braves probably need to win one of these in L.A. But you beat Scherzer. You know, you got some hits off there. You know, Urias, I mean, who's is it a 20-game winner and, you know, probably third-best arm at least. And then
with Kershaw out for sure.
Yeah, and walked off against Jansen. Like, I mean –
happy for the Braves fans that are Tennessee
fans.
No,
you're
fans.
Not.
The Braves fans that are Tennessee fans voice. After a rough weekend, I'm glad they won last night. The Braves fans that are Georgia fans, go to hell.
There you go.
All Hayden has these days is the World Series over them. If the Braves get one.
That is true. That really is true. Because we can't even make it. I mean, we never get past the first round of the playoffs.
It's not dissimilar from like Tennessee fans holding on to the one national championship over Georgia.
It really is very similar.
Jeez. Staying in baseball, Major League Baseball teams will provide housing for minor league baseball players starting in 2022. So we kind of talked about that. Was that this past week, maybe a week before? We kind of talked about how the minor league guys kind of getting screwed a little bit. Just
they've been getting screwed for a while. They've been having to just shack up and try to find people to live with or just have to worry about finding housing. So that's at least one thing they can do for them.
Yep.
I don't know, like, maybe they're just going to try to get, like, big houses and put most people there together. I don't know if they're going to try to get everybody apartments or what. But it's an easy thing to rectify. So it's one less thing for the minor league people to worry about.
Especially
because they're all making, like, what, $20,000 a year, some of them? So it's possible to like find a living.
Yeah, they'll probably just have the team owner just like buy big houses, kind of like you're talking about. That's probably what they'll do.
Yeah,
and then use them constantly.
Yeah,
probably should have been done.
Because you're always gonna have tenants,
and it's a business expense. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
Like, I mean,
yep.
But you know, because it'd be tough to be a minor league player and be like, you know what, am I really gonna pay for rent right now when I can barely afford to eat, when I'm not even gonna be there for half the time? So you're probably just like the guys piling up, sleeping wherever they can. So
and it's not like they feed them like great in the minor leagues, too. It's like
ham sandwiches.
Yeah, exactly. Draven, can you please read a headline about Edo? Because I really want to talk about Edo.
I was going to save that for the very end. I thought we could maybe jump into that after.
Yeah, that's fine.
Is that fine? Okay. I just got a couple more NFL things I want to get to. Hayden, if that's okay with you.
Hayden's getting ready to leave. You know what I mean? Go ahead. What do you have about Edo? What do you got?
Oh, let me pull my stat up here. Hold on, I saved it on here. We're going to get to it.
Okay,
I got it here. Okay. So, five SEC coaches, not named Saban, have coached the National Championship 2010, and all four of them have been fired since 2010.
Say that one more time.
So, five SEC coaches have coached the National Championship game since 2010, and all five have been fired, except for Kirby Smart.
Wow.
So, Les Miles, Chizik, Gus Malzahn, and Orgeron.
Oh.
Okay.
How about that? Without cause, we'll pay a buyout of $16.949 million. So, there you go.
It's a pretty big buyout. They must have gave him a big extension after the National Championship game.
Yeah.
For sure.
They did.
What do you guys think about the timing after a win, after beating Florida? It's kind of weird, isn't it?
They said they had it planned last week. They probably thought they were going to lose because, like Hayden told y'all last week, they've given up. They've quit on him.
What a performance.
And they went out and won for him.
Yeah. But
it's going to be a blowout, John. They've quit on him.
Bowen's in trouble now, dude. I mean, don't you think? At this point, maybe not.
Mullen's
going to
be on the hot seat going into next year. Now, I could see Mullen if any job comes open, like Penn State, if Franklin goes to USC, if USC calls him. Like, I do think he's going to be looking for the first ticket out of there. But that was a bad loss to, you know, again.
Brutal.
They had 20 scholarship players out. And they still
really?
Won.
Wow.
Set the rushing record. Like, and I know it took him like 36 carries.
That running back had how many yards?
He had 36 carries and like 285 yards.
I think it was 287 is what I saw.
And he broke Fournette's record on like, I think Fournette had like 16 or 17 carries for like 280 yards. He broke his record. And like, I think it was Tyrann Mathieu was like, bro, if they would have given you the ball 36 times, you would have had 700 yards rushing.
It's insane.
It's crazy how quickly it fell apart, but at the same time, it's not because we all knew that Orgeron kind of sucked and had good, really good coordinators that then left him.
He says he has no regrets, though.
Not even.
I have no regrets, is what he said.
Not even bringing your girlfriend's kids out to practice and letting them run drills, because that was one of the reports coming out.
Yikes.
Was that Edwards would bring his girlfriends around the team and let them bring their kids and, like, would send them through drills with the team. Like, basically, Ed Orgeron, he just got lost in the sauce, man. He just.
Jeez.
What happens when you're on top of the world? Like
on top
was?
Of the world, freshly single, probably a little midlife crisis. Well, let's face it, with the way he pounds those Red Bulls, probably about a 75-80% life crisis. And he was riding high and thought he was untouchable, and he got lost in the sauce.
Were there reports last week about, like, how he was also kind of just tired of it, like wanting to get it over with?
Oh, I mean,
I saw that it was kind of not. It wasn't just LSU that was like, oh, we're done here. Ed O is kind of like, oh, this is just like kind of just want to like do my own thing now.
I will say, once you win a national championship, you could probably say like I can die in peace, and you probably do want it. Like if you are Ed Orgeron and you love LSU, and he does love LSU. You don't want it to get bad to like where you're not welcome back there, like, and they think about you running the program into the ground. So that's kind of why they're, you know, making this transition plan. Obviously, he gets to coach the rest of the year, which is good. He gets to, quote unquote, go out on his own terms. He gets all of his money.
Mm-hmm.
So he still gets
surprised about that. But
he's getting a $17 million, which, I mean, if you're LSU, we'll give you the $17 million, bro. You won us a national championship. Like, good job. Like, you brought, you know, we got golden guys in the NFL that we'll be able to recruit and use for the next 10 years. Like, we'll always be able to point to Justin Jefferson and Joe Burrow and, you know, Ja'Marr Chase. Like, we'll always be able to say that. Shout out to you. You did what you need to do, and we'll pay you $17 million for a national title.
And when I saw this yesterday, I was kind of just like, damn. I wish, like, that not just national championship, but, like, I wish Tennessee could, like, make a transition like that, which is, like, I saw that post yesterday. It surprised me that I was next immediately second thought was, like, oh, good for Edo, good for LSU. Like, just – it's a good way to like end, and there's gonna be no hard feelings, and it's
whoever
national championship. So
whoever they hire is gonna have a chance to win a national championship, because everyone who coaches at LSU wins a national championship. Hell, Les Miles won what, two or one? He just won one.
He just won one,
and then lost another, or lost another two.
He lost in 11 against Alabama.
Yep,
that was it, right? I know he won in 07 against Ohio State in that crazy year. With
okay,
two
so he
losses.
Made two.
Yeah, because they beat us in the SEC championship game.
Okay.
And somehow got in. I mean, that was the year Kansas was number two. I mean, that was crazy. Like, this year is probably close to as crazy as that.
Okay.
Yeah, we lost the other day, so.
Okay. Well, go back to headlines. Hodden, see you later. We'll be back. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program, Cam, can you fill me in on what happened in college football this week? Because I don't know what the hell happened. I did see Iowa lost.
Yeah, they got they got dominated by Purdue.
So are they done for now?
How sad.
I would
is
say
that?
Yes, because even if you make it to like the Big Ten championship, I don't think they're beating Ohio State.
How sad is that, losing at home? Right or
yep.
No?
They got beat down,
home?
Right? I
mean, they're
got beat,
home.
They got beat down 24-7, right?
Yep.
They
took a big L there. You got to think, yeah, you got to think that really puts a dash in their championship aspirations.
7 points, and Purdue started a quarterback that they've not really been starting all year. He's kind of he's the backup to begin the season and didn't play like the first, like, three or four games.
And even outside
like
that, I mean, you got to be able to score more than 7 points.
Well, that's
like,
Iowa.
Oh my
that's
gosh.
Iowa for you. That's Iowa football for you, right there in a nutshell.
Had that happen.
I mean, it makes sense, obviously, when you look at letdowns, right? I mean, we didn't really even have them on upset alert, right? Because we don't think of Purdue as worth a damn at all, but if there would ever be a letdown, it'd be after a top five victory over Penn State when you're only playing Purdue.
I can't believe we didn't think of that.
Well, I saw it. I was like, that's Purdue.
Yeah. I mean, they got Ohio State a couple years ago, but also they had, like, Rondale Moore at
that
time.
They had, like, 200 receiving yards.
And usually when I think of letdowns, I think of, like, bad defensive teams that just don't tackle that day. And, like, with Iowa, you don't ever worry about that.
Yeah, they're usually pretty, you know, straightforward on all their stuff.
I will say, Purdue does have another explosive receiver, David Bell. He's kind of like another Rondale slot receiver. He had 240 receiving yards in this game.
Oh, yeah, David Bell's good, but, he was dominating.
They kind of did have that Rondale Moore kind of performance where he just kind of broke out a little bit. took over the game.
Yeah, they got dominated. But, yeah, I do think that puts a big, big hit in their chances. I haven't actually seen the where they were in the new AP poll.
I know that Cincinnati is at number two. Your Bearcats.
They should be. Let's go.
Numero dos. So the top five right now, Georgia, obviously. Cincinnati, mm-hmm. two. Oklahoma up to three. And then you got Bama, four. Ohio State, five.
That's what I thought it would be.
Right.
Interesting.
Iowa dropped down to 11.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like Iowa, that they might be done even if they beat Ohio State.
Think so. One loss Big Ten team.
I mean, it depends on what the competition is, obviously, and who's there, but it seems like that was a pretty bad loss. Was that the only main thing that happened this weekend? Because, again, I was pretty UT-centric on Saturday and didn't see anything other than Kentucky scored a garbage time touchdown to lose by 17.
Yeah.
And cost me my board bet.
Saved the spread there. Auburn dominated Arkansas.
Okay. Just kind of like what you said it was going to be, just they couldn't stop the run and Arkansas just ran down their throats.
Actually, Bo Nix was
that was
the best
game
I've ever seen from Bo Nix.
Okay.
He was pretty awesome.
Okay.
Like, he was making
usually
some
bad
gutsy
on the road,
throws,
but
running.
Yeah,
he was
fine.
Okay.
He was impressive.
He played pretty well. He was 21 of 26 for 292.
All right.
Threw an interception, but had two touchdowns. And
yeah, had a big rushing touchdown.
They really didn't have a huge success on the ground, you kind of thought they would have the opportunity for. But
so Alabama just beat the hell out of Mississippi State.
I didn't watch the second of that game either, but
yep, they dominated them as well.
Looks like it.
No surprise there. Actually, put it on them in the second half and scored 28. Usually, they take their foot off the gas. Didn't against them. Oklahoma, I guess this guy, Caleb Williams, made a pretty good day starting debut.
He's good, man.
So he's officially the guy.
Yeah, he's very good. He
Spencer Rattler shaking in the portal right now.
Yeah, he's gotta get on somewhere. It looks like at this rate, but yeah, he played pretty well. As far as other ranked teams, Oklahoma State got Texas.
Texas stinks.
We always overhype
Texas.
We don't overhype Texas. I picked Oklahoma State.
They're picked Texas. They're 4.5 favorites at home, and Oklahoma State
is Oklahoma State just going to do that thing where they're going to make Bedlam actually matter, right? I mean, where'd they go up to in the rankings?
Let's see.
That's a legitimate win going on, to Texas and winning and dominating in the second half. I mean, beat them 19-7.
They are at number 8.
Only moved up 4 spots. Okay, I mean, that's fair.
Michigan's at 6, Penn State's at 7, and then Oklahoma State.
I'd say, Michigan and Penn State will obviously take care of themselves. Their playing has to be pretty soon, right? I mean, this week, next week, who knows? But
I'm not sure.
They haven't played yet, and they're in the same division, so I know it's coming. Mm-hmm. So, Oklahoma State's at least going to have a chance to beat Oklahoma and be in the playoff conversation, right?
Yeah. No, they will. Absolutely.
That damn Mike Gundy.
Yeah, he's always hanging around, it seems like, huh? But, yeah, no, big win for them, to hang on and get that one, but –
The question is, if Cincinnati wins out because they're going to, they're pretty much locked into a playoff spot at this point, right? They're number 2 in the nation. There's not going to be any reason for them to fall out other than Oklahoma being able to maybe surpass them or something like that. But, I mean,
they do seem like number 2 isn't on the edge, right? Number 2.
It's pretty firm.
pretty locked in.
It'll be hard to have three teams jump ahead of him,
you know?
That's
exactly.
I could see if
Oklahoma ends up going undefeated, I could see them passing him, but you're going to put some of these one-loss teams, one-loss Ohio State over them, one-loss Alabama over them.
It'd be hard for all of them to do it.
Right.
Yeah, that's what makes you think they're in there. You think unless all these other teams are blowing out teams and they're just having close wins over their lesser opponents or something, but they seem to know that they have to dominate to run the table and get to where they want to go.
Cincinnati, we're really going to. Okay, it's fine. Let's do it. I'm not gonna put them down. Let's do it. Luke Fickell deserves it. They got at least somewhat of a real quarterback. I mean, I don't know how I feel about Ritter sometimes, mm-hmm. but.
I will say the one tough game they have left, SMU, November 20th. Everybody else has a losing record on their schedule. But, yeah, SMU's at least 6-0.
But it's at home, so
yeah, it is in
they
Cincinnati.
Should win. And maybe there'll be a rematch with SMU in the conference championship after that.
Yeah, they could play
twice,
yep.
I guess Houston's still undefeated, though, in conference. Mm. And Houston doesn't have to play Cincinnati, so Houston might be able to get there.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't see a ton of teams that could really jump over them, like Oklahoma, possibly. If Oklahoma, keeps winning out, handling business, which looks like they're in a good position to do so, they could do it. And honestly, I would say Michigan has a shot. You know, if they handle business, beat Ohio State, win the Big Ten.
Well, Alabama also has a shot. Alabama beats Georgia, they're going to get in over undefeated Cincinnati. And, like, Georgia, with one loss, is going to get in over Cincinnati. So, like, I know Alabama's at number five, but they're right there.
Yeah. I don't know if Ohio State, I think they would have a chance just because
if Ohio State wins out and beats Michigan and Iowa or whoever is in the championship against them, like they'll get in. They're not putting an undefeated. Well,
there's going to be somebody getting left. Like what if
Cincinnati gets left out in this case?
You think so? So if Oklahoma pretty much goes undefeated, finishes undefeated, they're in. Ohio State's in with one loss. If they win out,
and then
Alabama and Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, you going to bet against that?
No, but it's also just, I don't know. It's not frustrating. It's also, it's like, damn, it's pretty much the same teams we've been seeing in every postseason.
Now, you know what? I do feel like everyone's
frustrating a little bit.
I do feel like everyone gives Oklahoma, you know, credit for being more legitimate now with this new quarterback. I think people were really.
Yeah. Well, that's fine, but it's just also like, man, this has been a pretty crazy college football season. Like, Bama finally got beat. Yeah. We've had a lot of upsets, a lot of crazy games. The number two team in the nation just got beat. And it's like, wow, we're going to have all these kind of upsets so far this season. It's like, still, the same team's going to be in the playoffs.
I think the thing that's tough for Cincinnati, too, is all those teams that are like basically stacked in right behind them all play all the other teams that are in like the top 15, 10, and so the wins are just going to look a lot better no matter, you know, who's the one coming out like on top of those matchups. I think that's tough. And then also, you know, this isn't like the official college football ranking either, like, we may get to the actual ranking.
When does that start? This week? Next week? It feels like we should be getting there pretty soon, right?
Yeah. I would think soon. I don't know the exact date, but
got some breaking news coming out of the SEC. Tennessee handed down some punishments for Saturday night's actions. We'll get to that after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, Tennessee has been handed down their punishments by the SEC Conference.
What's the damage here? What are we talking?
Assessed a financial penalty of $250,000. That's $250,000 if you're not very good at math.
Thank you.
That will just be deducted from the university's share of SEC revenue distribution, so it's not like they have to cut a check. It's just they're going to withhold $250,000 of it.
Checks out.
Be required to use all available resources, including security, stadium, and television video to identify individuals who threw objects onto the playing field or at the opposing team. Anyone ID'd shall be prohibited from attending Tennessee Athletics events for the rest of the year. So that's not that big of a punishment.
It's not that bad.
The rest of the athletic year, so you'll miss all of basketball season as well. So 21-22,
baseball,
all of baseball. All sure. That, yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's going to come like here and if Tennessee will go above and beyond and like they're going to try to get people arrested and prosecuted to the fullest extent or whatever, but.
It just seems like so much work for a little fine and a slap on the wrist.
I do think if
you're a 19-year-old kid,
well, I
to be honest.
I do think if you're ID, none of them are going to be 19-year-old kids. There's going to be some.
I mean, I was listening to another show that was pretty much saying there was a. People are calling in saying there's a lot of adults throwing stuff too.
You can even see on TV they kept showing. They've had a real long clip where they just showed the crowd just raining it in.
So like public shame will do a lot to some of those guys. And if you are arrested and do have to do fines or get community service and just have to get the hassle of getting a lawyer and spending $3,000 or $4,000, like that, it's all about deterring this from happening again, right? Like it's all about it's not about punishing them and throwing them under the jail for what happened against Ole Miss. It's making sure this doesn't become a common occurrence at Tennessee or across the rest of the SEC. Mm. All right, continuing to go. Let's see. Review and update its athletics department game management procedures and alcohol availability policies to prevent a reoccurrence of Saturday night's disruption.
See, one of the things I was thinking about when I was talking to some people, like, while we were watching on TV, I was wondering if they were going to try to, like, do something with the alcohol sales. Because I feel like that's just one way they'd try to punish people, like, the fan base as a whole.
That's one way to, like, say you're trying to do something, but I don't think this was because people were drunk from the...
Oh, I don't either, but...
Especially from the concessions. Like, if you want to say, like, people, we're going to ban tailgating and, like, we're going to really crack down this whole dry campus thing, like, that would maybe stop people from being drunk at the game, but...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys saw the line. Oh, Cam, you weren't there, but Dre, I don't know if you saw the line. It was pretty hard to get a drink on Saturday.
And if you came into the game drunk 4 hours later, you're probably pretty sobered up by that time that all kind of went down at the end of the fourth quarter.
I mean, I don't think that was a factor. I just thought that would be a way they would kind of retaliate to be like, hey, we got to do something. And
It is, but it flies against like all the studies that have actually been done. Like pretty much everyone who's ran studies by this say that legalizing the sale reduces binge drinking and actually like keeps the crowd a little bit more under control.
Absolutely.
Just because people aren't pounding whiskey before they go in or sneaking it in. Like I used to sneak whiskey in all the time. Don't feel an urge to anymore just because if you want to have a drink, you can buy a drink. Like, I'm much less belligerent at games now. Granted, I'm also like 6 or 7 years older now and a little bit, you know, a little bit more mature, but at the same time, just like, hey, whatever, I'll just pay for it. I don't care. I got some money now.
Yeah.
Following that, Tennessee has to put a report together to the SEC to identify what was happening and what they did.
The hell does that even mean?
Like the changes they made, like here's the changes to the policies we've made. Because they're not like enforcing. The SEC is not saying you can't sell alcohol anymore. It's like you guys have to change your policies to figure out how you're going to prevent this from happening again. So maybe maybe this week Tennessee will be like, hey, we only sold alcohol until halftime. We stopped when the third quarter started. Which, again, I don't think that's why this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, we went through all the tape and we identified these 15 people. They've been banned. We're going to put 3 extra security guards in this section or, you know, whatever.
Yep.
The $250,000 fine, I mean, it's, a big deal. I mean, I don't know what that actually affects. I imagine it's just going to come out like the surplus you can bank and save.
Not as much money that comes in, kind of feel like it's pocket change a little bit, right?
Yeah. But this is a first offense. I mean, like, the money's not that big. I mean, when you think about Kentucky got fined $250,000, didn't they, for rushing the field against Florida? Mm-hmm. Or maybe it was 125, I don't know. But the actions taken by the conference are consistent with the regulations related to the availability of alcoholic beverages. If cans or plastic balls are used as projectiles or otherwise cause game management issues, the institution is subject to an immediate fine and suspension of the alcohol sales privilege. So they're saying that they have this in the bylaws. That's basically like if people are throwing things. I didn't see many beer things, though. I saw – maybe I was just like looking the wrong
– you could see a lot on the TV.
Okay. I saw a lot of Dasani water bottles is what I saw.
That too,
I
yeah. There was a ton of water bottles. There was more water than like beer cans for sure. Hydration. Look at that.
I mean, I still think – I mean, honestly, like if you're trying to blame the students, which a lot of people have, like – students ain't going to be able to pay $15 a pop for a seltzer, like especially in the fourth quarter. Like you might be able to get one at halftime, like one in the first quarter to like try to ease into your night and not just be like completely hungover and drained. But like I don't think the student section was going in there and buying the $15 beers nonstop. Mm-hmm. I didn't see many of them, but again, I understand on TV there probably were a lot more. I just saw a bunch of waters. Are we going to quit selling water? I will say shout out to the person that thought to bring some mustard.
Yeah.
Or did he just go out to the concessions, like where they have mustard for your hot dogs? They don't have the big bottles
there,
right?
I didn't think they did. I think the man brought his own brand to make sure he was covered.
Credit,
I respect it.
Credit to him, because mustard helps with cramps.
Mm-hmm.
Mustard helps with cramps, and we were just simply trying to keep Ole Miss from cramping.
How about that?
Danny White put out a statement. I was in communication with Commissioner Sankey throughout the weekend, and we discussed a variety of things that took place Saturday night. I wonder if that includes, like, the damn refs.
Yeah.
A variety of things. As I stated after the game, the actions that led to the temporary stoppage of play were unacceptable. The conduct of a small percentage of fans has led to unfortunate consequences on multiple fronts. While I don't believe that conduct is representative of the Tennessee fan base as a whole, I understand this imperative action by the league. Safety is paramount. Some elements of what the league office has instructed were already in motion as a result of in-venue video began this weekend. Internally and in collaborations with our partner, we'll continue to evaluate accountability measures and develop an action and education plan for future games. I would imagine Tennessee is going to go above and beyond when it comes to the people throwing things. I think it's going to be more than a rest of the year ban. I wouldn't be surprised if you got like a 5-year ban.
Yeah, I can see that.
Or just simply told you can't come back at all.
5 years? Yeah, you got to set an example. I think that's what they're going to try to do. To try to just keep this from happening again.
I mean,
so what about the people that are getting in trouble for throwing stuff Saturday? You think they're going to be like,
oh, no, yeah, no.
You're saying, hey, 5 years, buddy, you're gone.
I do think that's very possible. Because they're setting these expectations. The SEC said, here's the minimum you have to do. But also, send us a report and tell us. So, like, it's just one of those things, like, hey, I know you told us we only had to do this, but to show how serious we're taking this, a.k.a. so that we don't have to stop selling alcohol, we're going to go ahead and kick these guys out and make an example of them. 5 years. Maybe lifetime. Like, that's a cardinal rule, though. Like, I mean, like, it is an understanding, like, you can't throw things on the field.
Yeah.
Like, I know it happens, and again, I'm not saying that Tennessee is the only place to do this because it's not, but, like, it is kind of an understanding when you go there. Like, that's a part of the contract. It's like, don't throw stuff on the field.
Like, I can't think – like, I know we've seen it happen, people throwing stuff happen before, but I can't think of any time that it's delayed something like this.
Right. Like we said with the Ole Miss game, with the basketball game, that was after the game because, you know, they were mad about the charge as time expired. So
maybe they
threw it on there. It was 1.4 seconds left because, I mean, I feel like we took a charge and the clock still had at least a little bit left. Maybe they did, and I don't know. But, you know, I made the reference. You guys are too young and probably haven't seen them. But, like, man, go back and watch when Hulk Hogan – join the NWO. Go watch that. How many people in Atlanta were throwing water bottles and just cups and everything in the stage onto the ring on these wrestlers? Like, this isn't uncommon. We throw things. Go back to, like, the Apollo. Wasn't that a whole thing? People threw, like, tomatoes at bad comedians and stuff? Like, we threw things at – wasn't that something we always grew up with? Like, throwing tomatoes at people that stink? This isn't something that we don't do. It just seemed a little bit more angry on Saturday because it was just a whole bunch of things boiled over into one. It was 20 years of futility mixed in with, we hate this coach who is agging us on. Their coaches and fans and players are agging us on. The refs have been abysmal. And damn it, we're not going to take it anymore. Again, it's bad. No one thinks you should be throwing things. I get that. But man. This happens a lot. I will say, like, I feel like some gotcha journalism or gotcha social mediaism tried to happen in the London game. Do you guys see the videos of, like, the beer, the cups getting thrown, like, in London? Do you guys see that one going around? People were showing, like, people in the fans, like, stands throwing cups towards the lower level. And apparently, like, if you looked at the video more, they were trying to throw them down a lower level so they could create a longer beer snake, like a cup snake. Because, you know, like, you try to do, like, the longest cup thing you can. Apparently, that's why they were actually throwing things. I was like, why are they so mad about a call it when it gets the Jaguars? And then apparently, if you look at another angle.
They're
like,
just having a good time.
Yeah, they were just like trying to build the longest thing they could possibly build.
They're just having a blast out there.
And you're like, oh, okay. That makes more sense. No winners and losers today. We will play some Pump the Brakes after the break. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Last call brought to you by Kraft Axe Throwing. Use the promo code FANRUN for 15% off your booking. Located minutes from downtown Knoxville. Go throw some axes. Mondays when they let you get a little freaky. We'll take care of you. We'll keep you safe. Ooh. Promo code FANRUN. Like I said, you can walk up. Walk-ins are welcome, or you can book online at craftaxethrowing.com. Cam, let's play some Pump the Brakes. Let's keep it moving. What do you got for us?
Hold that thought, Cam. You got us a Halloween group costume, by the way? Mr. Genius? Mr. Creative? Mr. Guy already got it in the bag, ready to go?
I missed my window.
It.
I thought me and John were just doing it. You seem not really thrilled to be dressing up.
On Friday, you literally said you weren't dressing up.
I'll dress up, but it depends what it is. I just said don't want to have to make my own costume and put in an hour's worth of work just for to
an
sit
hour?
Here.
You can't do an hour?
Just to sit here for 3 hours in a goofy costume? Come on.
You could also wear it out Friday night.
I work Friday nights.
Saturday night.
The mood is right.
The day of Halloween.
Yeah, just walk around all day just together. Either way, whatever. So is he trying to...
I just think Cam doesn't have an idea either, and I think you guys need to admit it's harder than it looks to come up with a group costume idea that fits everybody and everybody likes it.
Well, we gave you, like, a lot of time. You said you weren't dressing up.
Cam's working on a couple's costume.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're all just going to be separate. We're going to sit here looking stupid, and everything's going to be ruined, and it's all your fault, Dre.
What are you talking about?
You did destroy the unity of this
situation. I just
said
I would do it. I'm just waiting on Cam's idea. We'll give you till tomorrow. before you leave for New York.
Okay. Oh, yeah, Cam's sounds leaving, good. Too.
I keep forgetting that.
You got a story?
Yeah. The Scotland Theater has banned this word.
Okay.
Yep.
The National Theater of Scotland has banned the word spooky at Halloween as it is a racial slur, apparently.
You know, okay. I mean, I'm scared to say it because, yeah, I mean, I've heard that used as a racial term before.
Yeah, because they said they last used the term in 2016, describing a venue as a spooky location. But there's, I guess I kind of see.
That's one that kind of falls through the radar, under the radar, I guess.
Usually you drop the Y.
Right. Well, I've heard of things called a spook house before, like if you're talking about like haunted houses and stuff.
Yeah. But yeah, they're saying no one has complained about it, but there were worries they could in the future. So yeah, they are planning to drop the alleged racial slur despite the fact that businesses from supermarkets to Visit Scotland are planning to using the term and build up to October 31st.
So Ireland's doing this? You said Scotland?
Scotland. Yeah.
I didn't think of them as being woke, but...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, we have a committed to fighting racism, so we are being extra careful about the language we use. He's trying to be more diverse.
It wasn't until World War II that spook started to refer to black people, because apparently black armies who trained at the Tuskegee Institute were referred to as Spukwaffe, which is a German word for weapon or gun. I don't know. But basically they were the only ones that were identified as Spukwaffe, so then basically it then morphed into that being a way to determine or to talk about someone being black. Doesn't seem like it's got that bad of a history, but
this article kind of goes in and starts talking about some random stuff like that as well.
Okay.
How it was a sinister term, a derogatory term in World War II.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. That's without the Y. But that also, obviously, Y just makes it a descriptor, I guess, theoretically. But Scotland.
I don't.
Who knew?
I don't know. All right. Dre, what do you got for us? You said you had a story.
Let's see. Oh, I got one. We might have a new power couple.
Okay. I'll stop.
Okay.
I'm into power couples.
It is official. The engagement of Kourtney Kardashian.
Oh, my God. You told me. You of all people. I told you that that's the closest Travis thing Barker. We had to royalty, and you thought I was so stupid for talking about how popular. Now you're calling him a power couple. Travis Barker, who, I mean, all due respect to him, I loved Blink-182 growing up. But, like, Travis Barker, he ain't really doing much anymore, right? I mean, I guess some of his other band died, right? Isn't that a thing? Like, didn't he have, like, his band, like, die, like, in a plane crash, and then he didn't fly forever?
Oh, really?
I think that's kind of what happened. He survived a plane crash because wasn't there a story that he actually got on a plane for her? That's when you knew it was on. Whenever he actually went flying for her because he hadn't been on a plane since then. I think that was a thing. I don't know what band it was.
That is romantic.
That is.
But now we got a new power couple. Once again, I like Travis Barker. Good drummer. I like Blink-182.
I feel like we don't really have a lot of power couples anymore.
We got Jackson Mahone and TikToks. Ed Orgeron and his 18 girlfriends. And now we got these two, I guess.
How about it?
Wow, the elite of the elite.
They are adorable together, aren't they?
I just want to know.
I don't know, man.
I just want to know how my man. I mean, Megan and Machine Gun Kelly actually, they're losing it. Once the whole I Am Weed thing happened, I think people are now at the point where we're getting a little, we're a little over Megan and Machine Gun. They're trying to be too weird.
Mm-hmm.
I saw something that was like, everything I know about the relationship I did not like seek out. Like, it just was told to me. I'm like, yeah, that's how it is.
Sure.
I want nothing to do with it.
Maybe Vandersloot and Allie Quigley.
Yeah.
Co-champions.
Yeah.
With the Chicago Sky.
Couple.
Pretty impressive.
Move over, Megan Rapinoe and Sue Bird. You guys are losers now. We got a new power couple.
Yep.
WNBA champions. How you feel about that, Draven? Not only does Love win, but so do the Chicago Sky. How does my man Scott Disick feel about this? Has he posted anything?
Oh, I don't know.
Didn't
That's
he
a good
have a
question.
New somebody new he was with or something?
He doesn't. He wants to be back in. I guess he might have it made, though. He might be like in the Kardashian, like, wake.
Yeah, because him and Kim still buddies, aren't they?
Oh, are they? I don't know. I mean, I know
they've always been close.
He's got a kid that's a part of it. So like, he gets to ride the wake of it. Maybe he gets also out of the circle, but still gets to be famous. Maybe he's got it made. Who knows?
How about it?
Who knows?
Okay. Well, Jaren Jackson Jr. got paid, by the way.
He did.
Wait, is it 4 years, $105
million? Yep.
It's not like the actual max, but people think he's going to have a big breakout season, so we'll see. He's got his contract taken care of. Russell Smith, the Bear, Jake, coming up next, The Drive on Fan Run Radio. Stay here.